نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الله سبحانه وتعالى is the creator and we are all his creation. He has always been there and he will remain forever. He has always been there, so there is no boundary on this side for him. There is no beginning. There is no starting point for him. He has always been there. There is no beginning, there is no starting point, so there is no boundary. This is where Allah begins, so no boundary. And he will always remain. So there is no boundary on this side also. He is free of all boundaries. We have a beginning and we also have an end. So we have a boundary on this side and boundary on this side. So he is free of boundary, we are within boundary. Because he is free of boundary, there is no boundary, so anything that belongs to him has no boundaries. And because we have a boundary, we have a beginning, we have an end, so anything that belongs to us has boundary. So our faculty of intellect also has a boundary. Our understanding, the limit of our understanding also has a boundary. The wisdom we are able to comprehend, that also has a boundary. But Allah and anything that belongs to Allah or that is associated to Allah's self, His attributes, Allah Himself, they are all free of boundary. So something that has a boundary, something that has limitations, how can that thing understand the handiworks of that being who has no boundary? So the first thing we need to embed in our hearts and minds is that we cannot understand everything. Because we have a boundary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a boundary for all of us. My beginning was in 1962. The end will come. 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. For some it's a 90 year boundary. For some it's a 100 year boundary. For some it's a 20 year boundary. For some it's a 10 year boundary. For some it's a 10 month boundary. For some it's a 10 day boundary. Nobody is free of boundary. Age has boundary. Our rizq has boundary. For some, the boundary is millions, and for some, hundreds of thousands, and for some, thousands, for some, hundreds, and for some, pennies and pences, our words also have boundaries. The words also have boundaries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed that in my life I will be able to speak only so many number of words. I cannot speak more than that. Our words have boundaries. But Allah's words has no boundary. لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفذ البحر قبل أن تنفذ كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا. The words of Allah has no boundary. Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not the whole word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is part of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the only word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Quran was the only word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it is limited. It is in a boundary from Alhamdu till Wannas. البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي. Oh my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them that if the oceans became ink to write my words, لنفذ البحر قبل أن تنفذ كلمات ربي, then before this ocean is able to write my old words, it will finish. It will continue writing my words, writing my words, writing my words. The ink will finish, the whole ocean that has turned into ink. But my words will not finish. And in another place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ وَالْبَحْرُ يمده من بعده سبعة أبهر ما نفذت كلمات الله. If all the trees on the surface of this earth were to become pens, and if the oceans are multiplied by seven, and they were to become ink, and these pens were to write the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma nafidat kalimatullah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not come to an end. The ink will finish, the pen will perish, the pens will perish, but Allah's words will not finish. This is the first thing we need to instill in our hearts and minds, that we are limited, Allah is not. Allah is not limited. Space cannot limit Him. That is why we cannot say that Allah is here and not here. Because if Allah is here and not here, that means He has limitations. But Allah has no limitation. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Him. And our limited faculty of intellect cannot comprehend that being and the attributes of that being who has no boundaries, who has no limitations. There is a vast difference between the two. I have a cup, the volume of which is half a liter. This cup will not be able to take in it 1 liter of milk. It's not possible that a mug or a cup which has a volume of half a liter can take in it milk which is 1 liter, it is not possible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limitations. And we have limitations. He has no boundaries. We have boundaries. Everything that belongs to us has boundaries. So we cannot understand the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot understand the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can understand that he is there, he is one. The message that was brought to us by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by the signs around us, we can understand that there is a creator. There is somebody who is looking after it. But the actual being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we cannot comprehend. So many of his qualities and attributes, we cannot comprehend. There are many verses of the Quran where his attributes have been mentioned. There are ahadith wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned his attributes. We cannot understand. Our minds cannot. We have to believe. Samayna wa atana. Amanna wa saddaqna. We have heard and we have obeyed. Amanna, we have accepted iman and we have testified. Because whatever our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed to us, everything is not within our ability to understand. Everything that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed to us, it falls into two categories. One category, we have the ability to understand. And the other category, we don't have the ability to understand. If we had the ability to understand each and everything that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has conveyed to us, then there would not remain a single non-Muslim on the surface of this earth. Because everybody will understand and they would accept it. Everything is according to logic. And no test will remain. Are they accepting my Nabi as Nabi? Do they have complete trust in my Nabi? Do they have complete confidence in my Nabi? So one category, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveys something to us, we understand immediately. In conformity with logic. It's rational. And the other category, it's not rational. Logic doesn't agree. This is where the crunch comes. Despite logic not agreeing, if a person accepts, that means he has confidence in his Nabi. He believes that he is the Nabi of Allah. And because I trust him to be the Nabi of Allah, I have confidence in him that he is the Prophet of Allah. So whatever he says, I accept because it is from Allah. That is the test. There are many verses in the glorious Quran. There are many ahadith regarding which the ulama have said that this falls within the category of mutashabihat. This falls within the category of mutashabihat. That means this falls within that category which is beyond our understanding. But it is there. Why is it there? To test us. Despite not being able to understand, will we accept it or not? Alif Lam Mim. What is the meaning of Alif Lam Mim? We don't know. Yasin. What is the meaning of Yasin? We don't know. It is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after Surah Fatiha, the very first thing you recite is Alif Lam Mim. Something that you don't understand. So Allah is testing us, despite not understanding. Will my servants accept it to be my kalam, my word? And Alhamdulillah, every servant accepts that we don't understand Adi Kalamim, but we know that it is from Allah. And we know that it has some very important meaning, but at the moment we can't understand it. Inshallah, time will come when we will go in Jannah and when we will see Allah, Allah will explain to us Himself. The being who has sent this word to us, He Himself will do the tafsir of this verse. That is valid. If it was beneficial for us to understand in this very world, He would have definitely explained it to us. But because He didn't, that means it's not important in this world. It's important in the hereafter, so He'll explain it to us. Islam in certain code words. And Allah will explain the meaning there. Test. You see, Amanna wa saddakna. We believe. And we testify that this is the word of Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is saying that Allah has revealed this to me, Alif Lam Mim, and we accept it. This is the word of Allah. This is the proof that we believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Prophet of Allah. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَّا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلِهِ وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَأْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in the Quran, in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two categories of verses. One is called muhkama, the other is called mutashabihat. Muhkamat, very clear to understand. And mutashabihat, beyond our understanding. So those people whose hearts are not straight, whose hearts are crooked, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Those people in whose heart lies crookedness, what do they do? فَيَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهُ. They go after that portion of the Quran where lies the mutashabihat. Those verses which are beyond understanding. They go after those verses which fall within the category of mutashabihat. And why do they go after these verses? Ibtigha al-fitna wa ibtigha al-ta'wil. To create fitna. And in order to create fitna, they try to interpret those verses which they were not supposed to interpret. Because they belong to the category of mutashabihat. You are not supposed to interpret them. But because there is crookedness in their heart is not clean. Their heart is dirty. So a crooked person will walk crooked, he will think crooked. So they want to instigate fitna amongst the ummah. And in order to instigate fitna, they will try to interpret those verses which is beyond their understanding. Allah says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ تَعْوِيلَهُ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Its interpretation is known only to Allah. And if it is only known to Allah, why should we try to interpret those verses? And the other category, مُؤْمِنِينَ وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Those strong in ilm, those people who have sound ilm, the mu'mineen. What do they say? Yaquluna amanna bi. We have accepted iman. Kullum min indi rabbina. They say that muhkam and mutashabih. Those verses of the Quran which we are able to understand, and that portion of the Quran which we are unable to understand, which is beyond our understanding, we believe that both categories are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when it comes to ahkam, amal, again, the wisdom of certain ahkam and injunction is known, and the ahkam and the wisdom of certain ahkam and injunction is unknown. For example, a person should give zakah. So it's very easy to understand the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to give zakah, because as a result of zakah, the needs of the poor will be fulfilled. This is one wisdom. Fasting in the month of Ramadan. Why do we fast in the month of Ramadan? So that those people who are well-to-do, who eat good food daily, who never experience hunger, they are able to experience hunger during the month of Ramadan and experience feeling for those poor brothers and sisters of theirs who remain hungry throughout the year. And as a result, they will be able to assist them. This is one wisdom. And there are certain injunctions. The wisdom of which is unknown to us. Why 2 rakat of Fajr and not 4? Why 4 rakat of Zuhr and not 2? Why 3 rakat of Maghrib and not 4, not 2? Why does the Farz not exceed 4 rakat? Why fasting in the month of Ramadan only for 30 days? Why not 40 days? Why not 20 days? When a person requires ghusl, he is impure. And when a person requires wuzu, he is impure. Both are impure. Both are impure. He is without ghusl, he is impure. He is without wuzu, he is impure. If he desires to become pure, he will have to wash the whole body. And if he desires to become pure, he will only have to wash 4 parts. Why? Why 4 parts only here? Why the whole body here? That person who can become pure only by washing 4 parts of his body, how can he become pure through tayammum? Unknown to us. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed everything to us that was within our understanding, and we understood the rationale behind every command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said earlier, each and every person on the surface of this earth would have accepted Islam. This is test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, as far as my existence is concerned, and as far as my oneness is concerned, I will give you proof. That is rational. That is rational. If a person uses his faculty of intellect correctly, with sincerity, without being biased, he will be able to understand the existence of Allah and the oneness of Allah with proofs. Because that is the foundation. Thereafter, the prophethood of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is rational. Through logic, you will be able to understand his prophethood. Then comes the Quran. Quran is my word. That also you will be able to understand through logic. Because these three things are fundamentals. But once you have accepted my existence through proofs, and once you have accepted my oneness through proofs, and thereafter, once you have accepted that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my messenger through proofs, thereafter you cannot question, because whatever he says is from me. And you cannot question the authority of the Creator. So let me say something very important to all of you. When giving da'wah to non-Muslims, do not discuss the injunctions of Islam. Discuss these three issues. Because we will discuss sawm, fasting, the benefits of fasting, the wisdom of fasting. You will spend 1 hour and you will convince him. He will ask questions regarding salat. So you convince him again, he will want to ask questions regarding hijab. So you convince him again, he will want to know things about ghusl, about wudu. For how long will you discuss with him? The method of da'wah is talk about Allah, Allah's existence, Allah's oneness. Thereafter move on to either the Quran or the Nabi. If you compel him through proofs to accept the oneness of Allah, his existence, and Quran being the word of Allah, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Nabi of Allah, then he will have to accept whatever the Quran says or whatever Nabi says. Because it is coming, he has accepted that Allah is there and he has sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Nabi. If Allah is the only authority, accept whatever the Nabi is saying. So we should never question the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should never question the aqaid. We should never try to find the tafsir of the mutashabihat. We will understand everything in the hereafter, inshaAllah. And we should never question the events that take place in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On this earth, in the heavens, whatever we are able to witness, see. Only Allah. Allah is wise. And the principle is fi'lul hakim la yakhlu anil hikmah. Somebody with wisdom, whenever he does something, it will not be void of wisdom. So if we have accepted Allah as the hakim, that he is wise, then whatever he does is full of wisdom. We should never question the events that take place around us. If we understand, alhamdulillah. If we don't understand, leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should concentrate on those things that are related to our lives. Belief, a'mal, aqaid, ibadat, muamalat, muasharat, husn akhlaq. Because when we go in the grave, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to question us regarding the events that take place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Miraj. Within the reach of the faculty of our intellect or beyond reach? Beyond reach. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Miraj. He left Makkah Mukarrama. He left the house of his cousin sister, Umme Hani radiyallahu anha, the sister of Ali radiyallahu anha. Jibreel and Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam brought him out of their house. They took him in Hatim. He said, I dozed off in Hatim again for a while. Certain things happened in Hatim. Then they said, we are traveling. Come, let's go. Burak was brought. He sat on the Burak with Jibreel, with Mikail alayhi salatu wasalam. He left Makkah Mukarrama And many places he was asked to come off the burak and perform two rakat. Ride the burak again, travel, come off the burak, perform two rakat. Many places. Before reaching Masjid Aqsa. In Masjid Aqsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered together approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhi wasalam. All Anbiya from Adam alayhi salam until Isa alayhi salam, they were all present. It is still night. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam came out of his home, his cousin's home, with Jibreel and Mikael. And he said, Jibreel and Mikael did not enter through the door. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I was sleeping in the house of my cousin Umme Ami and the roof opened. And Jibreel and Mikael descended and the roof closed again. Everything is beyond our understanding. Everything is out of reach as far as our faculty of intellect is concerned. But we still believe, alhamdulillah. Why do we believe? Because we have accepted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the Nabi of Allah. And whatever he says is nothing but truth. Whether our faculty of intellect can comprehend or not. And 24,000 Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam, they are all in their graves. What are they doing in Masjid Aqsa? But we accept because our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, after leading all the Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam in salat, all 124,000 Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam performed salat behind me. I was the imam. After that, a conference of the Anbiya took place. And in honor of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leading Anbiya alayhi wassalatu wassalam got up one after the other to say a few words. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam was taken up by Jibreel and Mikael, first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, observing everything on the first heaven, observing everything on the second heaven. Every heaven is controlled by angels. Every heaven has a door. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when we reached the first heaven, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam knocked on the door. So the angels on the other side said, who is it? So he said, I am Jibreel. Who is with you? He said, Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Were you sent to bring him here? Does he have permission to come? Jibreel said, yes, he has permission to come. We were sent to bring him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that he comes into the heavens. Then the door opened. And the angel said, Marhaba. Same on the second heaven, same on the third heaven, same on the fourth, same on the fifth, same on the sixth, same on the seventh. On the first heaven, he meets Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. He spent some time with him. On the second heaven, he meets Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And his cousin Yahya alayhi salam. On the third heaven, he meets Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. On the fourth heaven, he meets Harun alayhi salatu wassalam. On the fifth heaven, he meets Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. On the fourth, he meets Idris alayhi salam. On the fifth, he meets Harun alayhi salam. On the sixth, he meets Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. And on the seventh heaven, he meets Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. And then he visits Al-Baytul Ma'mur, the place where angels come to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a special significance. Like we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, but we go to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Makkah Mukarramah with a special significance. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Baytul Ma'mur is exactly in line with Kaaba in Makkah Mukarramah. If a pebble is thrown from Al-Baytul Ma'mur, it will fall on the roof of Kaaba. It is for this reason we perform Salat even when we are in the aeroplane, because the Qibla is from earth to the heavens. Baytul Ma'mur is the Qibla and the Kaaba of the Malaika. And this is Qibla and Kaaba in Makkah Mukarrama for us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I said to Jibreel, what is this? So he said, this is Baytul Ma'mur. It is mentioned in the Quran, Wattur wa kitabin nastur fi rakim manshur wal Baytul Ma'mur. Allah takes oath of al Baytul Ma'mur. And Jibreel said, let me tell you something. Daily, 70,000 malaika are permitted to come and devote themselves in al Baytul Ma'mur. They enter from one side, they worship Allah, and they leave from the other side. Daily 70,000 angels come. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, this has been happening since the creation of the angels and Al-Baytul Ma'mur. And the angels are so many in number, that once an angel has had his turn, his second turn will not come until the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. My friends, Allah does not need our ibadah. Allah is not in need of our salat. Allah is not in need of our zikr. Millions of malaika are worshipping. He has created hundreds and thousands, who are doing only one thing. Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. Right from the time He has created them, these malaika do nothing until the day of Qiyamah. Tasbih only. Then He has created another hundreds and thousands who say Alhamdulillah only, Tahmid only. He has created another hundreds and thousands who are saying Takbir only. Right from the time Allah has created us, He has created them. Some in Tasbih, some in Tahmid, some in Takbir, some in Tahleel, some in Qiyam. Right from the time Allah created, they are only in Qiyam. Some only in Ruku. Some only in Sajda. Millions, billions, trillions, only Allah knows how many years. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And after this long worship, because they have no desires. لا يعصون الله ما أمره. They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered them to do. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do only that which Allah has ordered them to do. After this long ibadat on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve them of this responsibility, and He will say, enough, pay attention to me. All of them will stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will say, Ya Rabbana, مَا عَبَدَنَاكَ حَقَّ عِبَادَةً.
Allah.
O our Rabb, we were not able to worship You as You were worthy of worship. And we perform 4 rakat in 5 minutes and we say, oh, I've performed 4 rakat.
No.
And even in that 4 rakat, we visit the whole world. In our salat, we travel the world more faster than Dajjal will. It will take Dajjal more time to travel the whole world than it takes us when we are performing salat. then Sidratul Muntaha. Sidratul Muntaha. The final destination after which no one can pass. No one passed before our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and nobody has passed after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him the opportunity to see Lawh-e Mahfuz, the pen that writes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the opportunity to see Jahannam, Jannah in detail. He saw the abodes of many Sahaba. He saw his own abode as well. And I said to Jibreel, can I enter? So he said, no. No, not now, only after death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I have ordained 50 salat upon your ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was returning. He met Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, your ummah will not be able to perform 50 times salat. Too much. So return and ask for decrease. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said 40. He returns to Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam encourages him to go again. So he returns to Allah again. 30. He comes to Musa alayhi salam again. He goes back because Musa alayhi salam encourages him to return. So how many times he is going to Musa alayhi salam? And back to Allah, Musa alayhi salam, back to Allah. 40, 30, 20, 10, and eventually 5. Musa alayhi salam says that your ummah will not be able to perform even 5 salat. Go and ask for a decrease. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I feel embarrassed now. From 50 to 5, how can I go and say to him that decrease more? Imagine the time that is taking, that this is what I am trying to say. Because the distance between two heavens is very long. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is on the sixth heaven. And here we, the followers of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, also need to understand that how embarrassing it must have been for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ahkamul Hakimin, and to say to him, can you change 50 into something else? And my question to all of you is, would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found performing 50 salat difficult in 24 hours? So for whom was he going? Should we not reciprocate? He had so much love for us. Once you go to somebody and say, can you decrease? And the person says, okay, instead of 50, 40. Second time you go, he says, instead of 40, 30. How can you go a third time? And our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was full of haya. Full of haya. Imagine the mujahada and the effort that he must have exerted to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for a decrease in the number of salah so that performing salah becomes easy for his ummah. There was no other goal. The muhaddisin have posed the question here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that eventually salat was going to become 5. So why did he say 50 and then eventually it came to 5? Why did he not say the very first time that go, I have ordained 5 times salat upon the ummah? The reason is, the muhaddisin, after posing this question, they give this answer. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show the ummah how merciful their creator was towards them and how loving their Nabi was towards them. If coming and going did not take place, we would not have realized the mercy of Allah and the love of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have posed the second question. That second question is, okay, fine. First time 50, second time 5. The Ummah would have accepted that Allah is very merciful and our Nabi is very loving. Because as a result of his making this sacrifice, 50 became 5. So why 50, then 40, then 30, then 20, then 5? The answer they gave was that because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was madly in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah wanted to give his ashik the opportunity to meet him over and over again. So every time he went, he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he communicated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, he said, As-salatu mi'rajul mu'minin. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that when my followers will narrate and hear this incident about me going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will also have the zeal to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, those of you who desire to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeing and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala physically in this world is not possible. In this world is not possible. But there is a substitute for that. And that is Salat. Salat. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'minin. Salat is the mi'raj of the believers. So 5 times every day come in the masjid. That is your meeting the Creator. Miraj is, Salat is the gift of Miraj. So friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will perform Salat regularly from today. One thing we have to do is to make a resolution that from today, we will perform 5 times Salat regularly with Jama'ah, with Takbir-e-Ula. We will arrive into the masjid before the Imam begins the Salat. We will never make Salat Qaza. But if overcome by nafs, shaitan, once in a while, despite not wanting to, if Qaza does take place, then I will make Qaza immediately. From today until we die, the account is going to remain clear as far as Salat is concerned. And whatever number of Salat we have missed in the past, we will contact the Muftis. And we will make sure that daily we perform 3 Salat, 5 Salat, 10 Salat. We will allocate a number, we will allocate a time, and in that time we will complete that allocated number. And before we go from this world, we will resolve ourselves of this responsibility. So we will not miss any Salat. But if we do, then because we have missed one Salat, so 500 has become 501 now. So if we are making 5 Salat Qaza daily, today we will make Qaza of 6 Salat. So 500 becomes 495. You understand what I'm saying? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from there to Baytul Maqdis, from Baytul Maqdis back to Makkah Mukarrama in the Hatim, and from Hatim to his cousin sister's house. This was a short version of Miraj, but it was still very long. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I returned to my cousin sister's house, the door that I had left closing behind me was still closing. The door I had left behind me closing was still closing. It was still where it was. I went to bed again because it was night, same time. So when I went into the bed, it was still warm. He got up in the morning, the following morning, and the first person he met was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl was the first person he met. So Abu Jahl said, anything new, Muhammad? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any new revelation? Anything new? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. In a split of a second, I traveled from here to Baytul Maqdis, Masjid Al-Aqsa, and all seven heavens, and returned back to Baytul Maqdis and then to Makkah Mukarram. Abu Jahl somehow controlled himself. He wanted to belittle our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wanted to reject what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said outright. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi, Abu Jahl controlled himself. Because he thought within his mind that this is an opportunity where I will be able to encourage people to leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because it is something that the faculty of intellect cannot accept. Rational cannot accept. And not a single person in Makkah Mukarrama will be able to accept. Because it takes us weeks to go to Masjid Al-Aqsa, Jerusalem. It takes us weeks to go to Jerusalem. From Makkah Mukarrama to Jerusalem. And he is saying, he went to Jerusalem and back again the same night, and that too after visiting the seven heavens. So he said, Muhammad, if I gather the people of Makkah Mukarrama, will you repeat the same story again? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, because it happened. He said, okay, let me gather the people of Makkah Mukarrama. And Abu Jahl went throughout Makkah Mukarrama and he gathered everybody for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gathered whole Makkah, whole of Makkah for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was the responsibility of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to convey whatever is revealed to him to all the people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used his enemy to make the task easy for him. And Abu Jahl gathered everybody. And very seriously he said, Muhammad, tell everybody what you told me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam narrated the whole incident of Miraj. Whole incident of Miraj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Somebody went to Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala. And he said, Abu Bakr, if somebody says, in one part of the night, he travelled from Makkah Mukarrama to Jerusalem, and he returned again, is it possible? So Abu Bakr says, no, it is not possible, but who is saying it? Logic and rational, it is not possible. But if Nabi says, then it is possible. So Abu Bakr said, who is saying it? So the person said, your friend Muhammad is saying it. He was very happy that Abu Bakr is rejecting this. So today Abu Bakr will leave Muhammad. He said, your friend Muhammad is saying this. So Abu Bakr said, if Muhammad is saying it, then it is possible. This is the point I wanted to put forward. If Muhammad is saying this, then it is possible. And I believe in something even more astonishing than this. This is nothing astonishing. Until now I have been believing that an angel comes from the heaven with message to him. That is even more astonishing. Until now I have been believing something even more astonishing. That an angel comes always from the heavens and he reveals and then he goes away. He said, where is Muhammad? So he said, Muhammad is there with Abu Jahl and the whole of Makkah Mukarramah. You are not aware. So Nabi Abu Bakr Siddiq very quickly came. And he stood next to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And upon every sentence, upon every fact, he was saying, Sadaqa Rasulullah. Sadaqa Rasulullah. Allah's messenger has said the truth. Allah's messenger has spoken the truth. And everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying was against rational, against logic. It was beyond imagination, beyond the faculty of intellect. But Abu Bakr on everything he was saying, Sadaqa Rasulullah. Sadaqa Rasulullah. Sadaqa Rasulullah. He was testifying. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, today you have a new name. You are Siddiq. You are the one who testifies. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. Only those people deserve the title of مؤمنون, believers, who believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thereafter who have no doubt. No doubt. Then they tested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us just complete this story. Mm-hmm. They tested Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had never gone to Masjid-i-Aqsa before. This was the first time he went to Masjid-i-Aqsa. And they had gone to Masjid-i-Aqsa before. So they said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you went to Masjid-i-Aqsa. How many pillars does Masjid-i-Aqsa have? How many windows does Masjid-i-Aqsa have? How many doors does Masjid-i-Aqsa have? Can you describe the doors for us? Can you describe the pillars for us? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was worried for a while. And suddenly I saw in front of me Jibreel. And in his hand was the model of Masjid-i-Aqsa. And he was pointing, look here and answer. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at Masjid-i-Aqsa and giving all the answers. When you return from here after 10 days, if somebody asks you, how many windows does the Masjid of Islamic Dawah Academy have? Your answer will be, when you go somewhere, you don't count the windows. That answer would have been sufficient. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show this miracle. And they tested him even more. He said, you travel from Makkah Mukarramah to Jerusalem and Jerusalem to Makkah Mukarramah. Did you meet anybody on the way? Did you see anybody on the way? So he said, yes. He said, yes. I saw a caravan belonging to this tribe. And they had lost a camel. They were looking for a camel. So when they come, you can verify it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when I passed by them, they were looking for a camel. He said, okay. We have to wait until they come. And they also said, this caravan that you saw, that is coming to Makkah Mukarramah, approximately when do you think they will arrive here? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gauged the distance and he said, they should arrive on this day at this time, at sunset or sunrise. To prove Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrong, they took this literal meaning that they should arrive when the sun is setting. So the trading caravan is coming from this side and the sun is setting on the other side. So they appointed one person on this side and another person on this side. And they said that they must, that caravan should arrive when the sun is setting. So they said that use make the announcement that the sun has set. and you make the announcement that the caravan has arrived. And they wanted to prove Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wrong. And both of them spoke at the same time. One said the caravan has come, the other said the sun is setting. So, during these testing times, my friend, this is the iman that we need to have. Anything that comes from Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, amanna wa sallam. We have accepted iman and we testify. It has to come through authentic, sound chain of narration. And for this reason, we need to have a very strong link with the ulama-i haq. The ulama of haq. Because the ulama of haq will remain in all ages. So anything that is sharia, no question. No question when it comes to sharia. Except against my desires, against my wishes, no problem. Alhamdulillah. If a reliable, authentic mufti says that I have listened to your version as well, and I have listened to your version as well, and the sharia verdict is that you owe him £50,000. Alhamdulillah. Amanna wa saddaqna. And we say, brother, £50,000 is a very big sum. I have accepted Mufti Sahib said, and I will try to pay you as soon as possible. Please give me some time. Please give me some respite. After receiving a fatwa from an authentic, reliable Mufti, only because it is against me, we should not go shopping. Shopping for fatwa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the time. When disasters take place, lot of people question, why disaster? Why earthquake? Why so much damage? Why so many people dying? He is wise. Those people who do not believe in the hereafter, they look at from only one perspective. But we are believers of this world and the hereafter, so we should look at it from both perspectives. When earthquake strikes, when tsunami strikes, people will be divided into four categories. Those disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those obedient to Allah. Two categories. And each category will be divided into two more categories. Obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have died and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are still living. Disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have died and disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are still living. Now the question that will arise in the minds of Muslims is that disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have been destroyed by this earthquake, fine. Those who are alive from this, why are they alive? Allah knows why they have survived. Obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are alive, that makes sense. But obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have died, why were they punished? The first question is, who are we to categorize and say he is obedient and he is disobedient? That's number one. And number two, four categories. Disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he has died. So he has met his fate. Disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but still survives. Allah is giving him chance, respite for some good that he may have done. That take this a lesson for you and mend your ways. Obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and died. He has died as a martyr. He has died as a martyr. Obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he still lives. So obedient and he still lives. So he will have to put up with all the grief. So for him it's rafi'i darajat. Allah is elevating his status to sabr. Young children dying. young children, suffering of young children. We should leave all this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is Hakim. He is Hakim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the two. And we will understand all the whole jigsaw puzzle will become complete in the hereafter. You must have seen during disasters that young children who are suffering are given so much sabr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strikes people with calamity and He gives anesthetic from Himself to the young children. You see the child is just lying there, not crying, nothing. Blood is there, pain is there, cuts, bruises, but it's just there lying, not crying. And the adult, they are screaming and crying because there are so many children who die. Malakul Maut comes and he extracts their ruh even before the calamity lands upon them. They don't feel any suffering. So we should never question the events that take place throughout the world. There are so many things we fail to understand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all firm belief, firm yaqeen, firm iman. And as far as mutashabahat is concerned, we should not delve into those things. So for example, taqdeer. Taqdeer is beyond our understanding. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't delve into it. Taqdeer, don't delve into it. The sifat and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran says, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ. In His hand lies goodness. Hand, how does Allah's hand look like? Is He like us? Don't think about it. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arsh istawa. Ar-Rahman ta'ala is on Arsh. Is He sitting on Arsh like I'm sitting on my chair? Don't think about it. These verses are mutashabahat. One thing we have to, laysa kamithlihi shay. Laysa kamithlihi, there is nothing like Allah. So if there is nothing like Allah, I'm not like Allah, you are not like Allah. So if Quran mentions hand for Allah, then His hand cannot be like mine, because I am not like Him. So the belief is, lahu yadun. Because the Quran says He has a hand, so He has a hand. La kayadina, but not like our hands. What it is, only Allah knows. Some commentators say that biyadihi al-khair, in His hand is khair. It is a metaphorical term. That means He controls khair and shar. He controls, it's in my hand. Admission in this madrasa is in my hands. Where is the admission in your hands? So when it says admission, admission of students in this madrasa is in my hands, where is it? Where is the admission of students in your hands? So he says admission of students is in my hands means I control the admissions here. I take who I want and I reject who I want. So biyadihi al-khair, in His hand is khair. He doesn't have a hand, He controls khair. The full authority of khair He has. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi.